Well, good morning again, everybody, and I want to say once again, Happy New Year. Now, everybody has different practices, I suppose. Did anybody make any New Year's resolutions? Somebody, some folks are shaking their head no, because we make these resolutions and we don't always stick to them and we break our New Year's resolutions. So I think they're not always in vogue like they used to be. But still, there's something good about a New Year's resolution. You see, we have to look back and reflect on the previous year, don't we? And there's a couple things about that. Anybody that's ever worked a full-time job has had a performance evaluation. So whether you wanted it or not, there was a reflection on how you performed and how you did and how you lived. And we need to do the same thing sometimes in our hearts. Look back. And what we mostly need to see when we look back, folks, is God's faithfulness and how much He's blessed us. Because it gives us encouragement to carry forward into the new year. And as we go into our message this morning, I just want for a moment to reflect on a couple of passages that we referenced quite often in 2025 and use that for encouragement to go into 2026. So let's start with some that we've already read. But I want you to think about the meaning of these Old Testament passages that we're about to read, because they are so applicable on an individual basis, how they never changed in their truth. They apply to us each and every day that we are given. In Lamentations chapter 3, 22 through 23, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. You know, if you take that, and I one day plan to preach just a complete message on this one passage. But it is because of God's mercies, because of the love and compassion He has for me and for you as individuals, that we're not consumed. If we were meted out justice on the way we truly deserved, we'd be gone, because we don't deserve to take up space on this earth. But God is different from people. He has mercy and abundance in his heart. And each day we are given, His mercies are new. Now, I want you to think of that as we go through our message today. Every day is a new opportunity, which leads us to what we find in Isaiah chapter 55. You see, there's an opportunity here, and you'll quickly see that so much is dependent upon the choices that we make in our hearts. Isaiah 55, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Thank the Lord that His ways are higher than our ways. But look at the opportunity that we are given. These two passages are somewhat linked together in my view, because the mercies are there when we turn to Him. God is filled with love and mercy and grace, and He gives us unending opportunities to turn to Him. And we just read, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and when we turn to Him, He will abundantly pardon." Abundantly pardon because of the compassion that He has for His people. Now, I don't know about you, but I can look back in 2025 and think of some days, you know what? Maybe I didn't do everything completely just right. Maybe I needed a little bit of grace to have more compassion in my heart. Maybe I didn't follow the Lord's words as good as I could have. You see, we can all look back and find those days and maybe those periods in our life where we're not walking the way we should be. But each day we have an opportunity to turn to the Lord. Each hour, each moment, every day, every moment of the day, every thought we have, we can turn to Him. And you know, it's not that difficult to discern. It's a choice we have to make in our hearts. We have to decide to do this. But as you look back at 2025, if you're honest with yourself, I believe you can think of those times when perhaps you weren't a model disciple either. Did you turn to God to ask for forgiveness? Or have you just kind of wanted to move on and not think about it? You know, we sometimes all handle things differently. Sometimes we don't confront the issues in our life maybe the way that we should. None of us are perfect. And God knows that. And it goes back to the compassion that He has for His people and the opportunities that we have to go before Him in prayer. So as you think about that in your own life, as you look back, don't you see God's patience, His kindness, His love, His long-suffering, and His faithfulness? The Lord is faithful. When we go before Him in prayer and confess our sins, He will abundantly pardon. In 2025, we all had them. But now this is 2026. It's 2026. God was faithful. He saw us through last year, didn't He? In spite of our sins, we weren't consumed. In spite of our sins, He had compassion on us because He looks at you and me through the loving eyes of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died for us. You see, our sins are forgiven in an eternal sense through Christ. But folks, when we carry around unclean thoughts and sins in our life, we don't live the way the Lord has instructed us to. And it hinders our walk and it clouds our vision. Each and every day, we need to do what we've just read in these two scriptures. Turn to God and ask Him for direction in our life. Turn to God and ask Him for mercy and forgiveness in our life. And He will abundantly pardon us because He loves us. That's what His compassions are. And you know, it's not, if you summarize it and really bring it down to a small phrase we find in Micah, it's not that difficult. The Lord is very direct here. He says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does He expect you to do in your life? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I referenced this passage many times last year and even the year before. What a New Year's resolution this truly should be. How do you want to live your life in 2026? It's given right here. It's a wonderful goal to have. You want to go into 2026 with a new start, with a new direction in your life. Do justly. Love mercy. And walk humbly, recognizing that it is by God's grace that we have anything in our life, even our very breath. See, when we begin to think about how good the Lord is to us, we should be humble. And when we think about how good God is to us, how merciful He is, it should have an effect on our hearts. We should be more loving and more compassionate. It's a wonderful goal to have. If you had one resolution for 2026, I would say this, reflect on your life. Where can you improve it? You know, we can't all make these miracle resolutions that, yeah, I'm going to lose however X amount of weight, or I'm going to, you know, get in shape or whatever. Those things come and go, but on a spiritual sense, it comes down to the heart, and that's a decision that we can all make. Go into 2026, folks. Leave whatever in 2025 behind you that encumbered you. But take with you what is important, and that's God's faithfulness and His willingness to forgive us of our sins and knowing that He will lead us when we ask Him. So if you want a clean start to 2026, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. But there's something that hinders us. It hinders each and every, well, I should say most people. There's something that can hinder us. You know, we really shouldn't bring baggage from 2025 with us. Each day is a new day. It's a new start. It's a new year. But there's one thing that we do that does hinder us. And we find it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. And I pray this is not you, but I'm afraid that it's all of us from time to time. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You know, I pray to the benefit of everybody here, and I include myself here, and for all my family and friends and everybody that I can think of, I pray that we're not carrying the burden that shackles us, the burden of resentment and grudges around with us. You may have had some encounters in your life in 2025 with people that weren't the most pleasant. But you know what? We need to let those things go. Because God forgives us our sins. And you know what? There's nothing that may have been done to you or to me that we can't forgive when we start comparing it to what we've done to affront the Lord, when we have broken His laws. If we are forgiven, why can't we extend that same mercy and grace to other people? When we don't do that, folks, it burdens us. It weighs us down. And that's baggage from 2025 that you don't need in your life. I don't need it. None of God's children need it. We need to learn how to let go of grudges, resentment, because they have no value in our life. We need to forgive because that's what the Lord does. Each and every day, His mercies are new. And we need to remember, because we find this, and we read it as part of our responsive reading this morning, but we take it for granted. It applies to you. So if you apply it to yourself individually, it applies to that person that you might have had something that was a little bit unpleasant with. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. You see, folks, those old things aren't really important much anymore. They're probably, most likely, kind of petty. And we need to leave them behind in the dustbin of 2025. The only thing we need to take with us from 2025 is the recognition of God's mercies and His love, knowing how much He blesses us and that He will lead us in 2026. When we take those old things with us, all they're going to do is make us stumble, and they will hinder us. And I want to express it this way. You know, sometimes I'll try to write out my notes, and then when I get up here, I may word it a little differently. But the thought is basically the same. But I want you to think for just a moment, and then we're going to move on. But I want you to think for just a moment with the people in your life and the friends or the acquaintances, or if you have any little resentment or grudges towards other people. Sometimes maybe even close people. You know, sometimes we just plain irritate each other, don't we? None of us are perfect. We're not perfect. But I really want you to start thinking about what's important in your life. So I want to ask you a question in this way. If 2026, if we lived each day as if it was your last day, if you knew that this day was truly your last day on earth, what would you say to those around you? To your family, to your friends? Wouldn't they be words of love? Those little petty things wouldn't matter so much anymore. And if you reverse it a little bit, if you start thinking about, well, what if my loved ones, what if it was their last day? What would you want to say to them? You see, those little annoyances, they all fly out the window. When you think you're about to lose somebody really close that you love, what wells to the surface? It's love in our hearts. You see, we begin to overlook those other little things, don't we? Well, truth be told, none of us know when the next day is. So why shouldn't there be more thoughts of goodness and kindness and love towards one another? That's what the Lord tells us to do. We are to love one another more than we find issues with one another. 1 John is very directive in this and gives us some good guidance here. But it's not the main focus. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have it, though, to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read this a little slow, and it's very self-explanatory. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. How could it be more clear and more plain? You see, we realize we're not perfect. We need to recognize other people aren't perfect either. And we need to love them. Now, I do recognize that sometimes it's not easy to love somebody. Perhaps you know people in your life. I can't remember the title of the song, but there are some lyrics in a few songs that says, "Help me to love the unlovable." But, you know, that's a desire and it's a mindset. And it's a mindset that, you know what? We have to look for the positive in people and not just the negative. I believe this is very true. If we constantly focus on what's wrong in life and what's wrong in other people, and all we do is gripe and complain about it, there's not much room left in our hearts for love. And that's a choice that we make. Because we all encounter what's wrong with other people and what's not right in our lives. But what are you going to take as much time to look for what might be good? You see, that's a decision that we make. It's a consciousness. If we look for the positive in people and in life, encouragement seeps in. And with encouragement, the ability to look past what might be the negative in somebody or in life. And we see the positive. And this is a conscious choice that we all make as we go into 2026. You see, you have a choice. God gives us reasoning, and we have the ability to make a choice. We make a choice to be obedient. We make a choice to not be offended by something that is insignificant. We make a choice to look for good in other people. Now, Paul gives us an example and further instruction in how to do this. And I believe that this is important in our lives. The decisions that we make, basically, if you summarize everything we've said so far, look how merciful God is to us. So how, in return, are we going to treat other people around us? Are we going to be representative of God's Word, or are we not? The way we live our life is a direct example of how obedient we are to God's Word. Are we hypocrites? Are we followers of Christ? Listen to what Paul tells us to do. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 and 3, and then we're going to skip down. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 through 3. Understand what Paul is going through. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called." And every one of us has a calling. "All with lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." You see, it takes a desire and an effort. Paul is writing these words when he's in chains, under guard by a Roman soldier. And yet he is telling us to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing one another in love. What a person that he could write this. He's not focused so much on the bitterness that he's enduring, the uncomfortableness of the chains, of being there under guard with a Roman soldier. You know, Paul never truly knew when his last day may be, but he's focusing on giving believers instructions in how to treat each other. You know, when life is bad for us, sometimes things come into sharp focus. We realize where we went wrong, and we realize how we could do better, and how we want better for somebody else. You see, if all we ever do is think about ourselves, folks, we're not living, we're not being appreciative of the grace of God, because God's grace, when you fully embrace it and you open your eyes, you realize how much God has forgiven you in your life. It should give you clear vision of compassion towards other people. And you want good things for other people, not bad things, because of God's amazing grace. Paul is right here. You know, you think of all the miracles Paul has done. He's not focused on himself. He's writing these letters. If he hadn't been in chains, we wouldn't have some of this information. We wouldn't have these letters. But he was writing these letters while he was in prison. While he was, well, I will say, under house arrest with the Roman guard. But he has shackles and chains on him. And so he gives us some instructions on how to treat each other. If we go down a little bit further, we're going to read through this and then re-examine a little bit more. Drop down in chapter 4 of Ephesians to verses 25 through 32. And these are instructions for us, I think, as we go into 2026. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What instructions to live by? Now I want to recap for just a moment, because there's a lot said in this one verse. But some of the easier things that stick out to me. The instructions and steps of how to walk what? Worthy of the calling, as was said in verse 1, that we all have. We are all called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And there is a certain pattern in which we are to walk and conduct ourselves in that walk that you were called to have. These instructions and steps tell us how to walk worthy of our calling, and it underscores the importance of how we treat each other, especially when you reflect on how God treats you. And I'll remind you again that it is a choice. It's a choice how we choose to treat one another. He gives us instruction in verses 28, and this is turning from sin, turning from the negative things in life to the positive. In verse 28, he says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. You see, this is a choice. You talk about human behavior, and we see it all around you. Somebody makes a decision to steal. They'd rather steal something than work to earn it. But you know what? That's the old man. When God has come into our life and our eyes have been opened, we're a new creation and we have new opportunities every day, so we make a choice. And Paul is telling these people that were around here, the church at Ephesus, and they were surrounded by a very pagan society where the people didn't live very good. And he's telling them, if you stole in the past, well, steal no more. And there's something else. You see, again, we're looking for the good. It says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has a need. You see, it's not always just about us, is it? We need to be working for, yes, for ourselves, for our families, and our in support of what God has blessed us with, but there are times when we can reach out and help somebody in need. So we can't just be so self-focused. We need to be concerned of and aware of the needs of those in our family and our circle of friends. Because God has blessed you with the ability to do such things. You don't have to steal. But you see, there's a choice, and it comes down to people's behavior. And I will tell this to you again, that your influence can affect somebody else's behavior. Turn from the negative into the positive. How to be a positive influence on another person and not a negative one? Well, that's given in verse 29. Perhaps I read through it too fast, but he gives us instructions here. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, there's a lot in that one little verse. But you know, you can summarize it this way, if you think about it negatively. Sometimes we need to bridle our tongue. And it's not always easy to do that, but it is a choice. You see, our speech is a choice, and it affects other people. Now, you can look back through your life and see how however you conduct yourself and you address other people and you talk to other people. But we all have a choice for each day we are given, and the way we choose to talk to one another is something that we can control. If we follow what's in verses 31 and 32, it's a little easier to bridle our tongue. In verse 31 and 32, we are told is to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You see, we have to reflect on ourselves sometimes. And whatever things we struggle with in our life, we have the power to control them. It's a conscious decision, and it may continue to be a struggle, but you can have to confront these things we struggle with sometimes. Sometimes problems are put into our lives to improve us. We have to struggle with them, but you know what? If you ignore a problem, it's only going to get worse. We have to confront our problems, folks. And we need to do it in the way that the Lord instructs us to do through His Word. Because if we do it that way, then we will resolve the problem one way or another. Something positive will come out of it. You know, when you have a problem that you feel like you just can't fix, when you try to confront it, well, you're going to learn maybe a new methodology that will resolve the problem. Or you're going to grow in your dependence on God and putting your faith and trust in Him to help you with a problem that you can't handle. Either way, you're growing in a positive way. But it's a choice on how you confront it. We have a choice in how we address other people. You see, it's easy to offer criticism to somebody. And all that does is turn negative, and it tears things down. Constructive criticism is the total opposite. And that's a positive. It's a way of trying to help somebody. If you're trying to teach somebody something and say, well, you did good, but you need help here in this part. That's constructive criticism. But it needs to be done in a loving manner. We need to be encouragers, not demoralizers in our life. And you have that effect on each and everybody that you're around, each and every day that the Lord gives you. Are we doing it? When we let go of bitterness, it's much easier to do it. Put aside and put behind you anything in your life that you're bitter about. It's not worth the burden on your back that it creates. Now, this brings us to verse 30. And this gets a little bit personal, but I skipped over it on purpose. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now that's a statement, that particular wording, I cannot find it anywhere else in the Bible. And I've looked this up. There's some other similarities, but do not grieve. I want you to think about it for a minute. Have you ever caused somebody else grief in your life? What did you do? What caused them grief? Now, as parents, sometimes we grieve for our children when we're worried about them. We see them doing something that's not right. And we pray for them. You see, that's what grieving is. And we have to always remember that God is our Heavenly Father. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Folks, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we fail to live out verse 32. I'll read verse 32 to you again. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Have you ever been around a bunch of kids? And well, of course, I know you all have. But you think about when you have a whole classroom of little kids, and some of you are teachers, you know this better than I do. Maybe it's a preschool class, but when you see little kids that are not treating each other right, you don't like it. Well, when we think about maybe those people that are in our life that are fellow believers, but we don't always get along with, and we don't treat each other right, when we fail to live as Paul has instructed us here, I believe we are grieving the Spirit because we are failing to recognize how God has been so good to us. And if God has been so kind and compassionate to us, shouldn't we be that way towards other people? You see, we need to treat how we treat each other is important. And I believe when you look at it from that way, it becomes a little more precious to us. Because if we can grieve the Spirit, it shows God's personal involvement in our life. Think about it from that perspective. Your personal life. You see, God is not indifferent to our choices, and He knows each and every one of them. He knows everything about us. He knows what's in our hearts. And He cares. And so He cares about how we live our life and how we treat each other. The Spirit grieves when we walk in bitterness. You see, we've been giving instructions here, and we need to heed these instructions. The Spirit grieves when we walk in bitterness, when we have malice in our hearts, and when we are walking in sin, because we are not exercising the gift of faith He has given us to overcome the world. And at least momentarily, we are not fulfilling our calling to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. You see, you were called. And God has expectations for His children. Now, if you really want trouble in your life, you live a life to where you're not being obedient to His Word long enough, and you're going to have troubles. But we're supposed to be better than that. You know, we need to remember, each day is brand new. Each day, never forget, you are a new creation in Christ, so you have the ability to put the old and the past behind you. Hey, we have that power because we are a new creation. And if we read 2 Corinthians again, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is a new year, folks. And how we choose to embrace whatever every day the Lord gives us is up to us. It's a conscious decision. We're no longer slave to sins because we are a new creation in Christ. So we are not supposed to walk exactly the way we did prior to the Lord opening our eyes. It's a new year. Choose to live it freely and unencumbered from anything in the past that may have caused you bitterness. Let it go. Remember what God did for us in 2025, the way He blessed us. Find comfort in that. Find joy in that. And remember in 2026 that He will lead us just like He did in 2025. Remember that you have the opportunity to affect those around you. Will you be a positive or negative influence on them? When other people think of you, will they smile and they think of what a blessing you have been to them? We have the ability to do that if we live our lives accordingly. Paul just gave us an outline of some steps. But there's something else important in verse 30 that I want you to recognize here. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit by our actions here on this earth. But there's a promise contained in that sentence. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And it's our doctrine that we cling to so wonderfully, the doctrines of grace. You see, it's not by your actions that we're saved for salvation. It's by the loving work of Jesus Christ. And we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit to that day of redemption that we all look forward to. You see, we will have a difficult time here in this life sometimes not by our own doing. It's the circumstances in life. We will have a difficult time in this life when we don't treat each other the way we're supposed to. That old adage, what goes around comes around. It comes back to us when we don't live according to God's Word. But that's here on this earth. But folks, we are here now. God gave you this day. We're praying that God gives us a whole 2026 to come, and we need to live it like those who follow Christ, His disciples, as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And there's one way that we need to remember that. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Nothing can separate us from God's love. So if you mess up, and when you make mistakes, and those days will come, we can turn to God who will abundantly pardon. His mercies are new every day. You see, we should have encouragement and happiness in our hearts to go forward, knowing that God doesn't condemn us for every little thing. He says, this is the way to go. Walk in my paths. Follow the Lord. And in closing, I want you to think about what we find in Hebrews chapter 13. Because this adds to what Paul was saying, and hopefully it will give you comfort and direction for 2026. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Because the rest of this is more important than anything else. This first part applies to the world. But what comes next? For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So whatever 2026 holds for us, God will be with us. Live your life by God's Word. It is the instruction book for life. Be a positive influence on other people. Be aware that you have the ability to be an uplifter for another person and not a person that drags other people down. That is a personal choice. And if you struggle with it, I think we just went over the steps on how to overcome that. Let go of bitterness. Be cheerful and forgiving with one another, just as Jesus Christ has been with us. When we do these things, folks, we're going to be happier. And that burden is lifted off our back. Don't you want to start 2026 clean and burden-free? Let go of bitterness, of anxieties and anger. And if there's anybody in your life you haven't forgiven them, go to the Lord in your knees and in prayer and pray, forgive this person. And that burden will be lifted. May the Lord add His blessings is my prayer.